I want to remind you now, if you haven't already given at the close of the service, we'll take up a special offering for Brother Steve Ford and Miss Patty. I'm sure that some have already given in the offering, probably put it right on your very tithe check. Some of you may give in cash on Tuesday night, but we'll give you another chance today, and then we'll give Brother Stephen a check for it after the service this morning, okay? And so you be praying. Don't let me forget it, please. Somebody just holler at me because I'm prone to get carried away. One of these days I'm going to get carried away. When I get carried away, amen. Hallelujah. All right, 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 3 this morning, please. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. You know, I mentioned in the Sunday school hour that God, I believe, is dealing with some individuals in the church about their soul. And we want to be very prayerful and mindful of that as we preach today. And always, we want to be very aware of how sensitive the Spirit of God is. And so try to be as spiritually minded as we can this morning. And as we try to bring the message and then during the invitation as well. All right. If you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And for the sake of reading, we're going to begin again today in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and your labor be in vain. Our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus come from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Amen. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the morning hour that we've had in Sunday school and a preaching time. And Father, I want to thank you for the songs that we've enjoyed this morning. Thank you, Father, for the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, that you not only came as a baby in a manger, but you died as God upon the cross for us and as us, that we might be forgiven of our sin, that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray for that anointing power of the Spirit of God, Lord, upon me in these next few moments. I pray for the liberty, Lord, that I need, the unction that I need, the grace that I need, the joy that I need, the wisdom that I need to preach the Word of God. And I do pray that you deal with hearts and draw sinners and save them, Lord. And we ask you to bless the people of God. Remind us again this day of exactly where God's brought us from, what you're doing in each of our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to preach out of verses 7 and 8 this morning for just a few minutes to you. And drawing our thought from verse number 8, where Brother Paul said, "For now we live if we stand fast in, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Paul seemed to think that the spiritual condition of these believers in Thessalonica had a great deal to do with his own spiritual life. When Paul said, "For now we live if you stand fast in Christ," was not no way implying that his salvation depended upon them. But he was did mean that the abundant life that we can have in Christ is meant in this verse of Scripture. And as Paul said, for now we live. Paul said, I'm going to live right on and enjoy God's blessings. That is, if you stand fast in the Lord. I want to preach this morning on some ifs in the Word of God. Because that is conditional if you stand fast in the Lord. Salvation is an unconditional thing. You have to meet absolutely no conditions at all except to be a sinner in order to be saved. But I will say that all other things in the Bible, all other blessings are are conditional by way. I mean, if we'll take up our cross, deny Him daily. If we abide in His Word, then we can continue to be His disciples. And but I want to look at this verse this morning and preach for a little while on this thought, steady as you go. Paul said, if you stand fast in the Lord. That is an old naval term, steady as you go. Hold her steady on course and steady as you go. Don't vary any at all from the course that you're now traveling. And church, that would be my encouraging words to you this hour. Would to remain steady as you go. To stand fast in the Lord. In verses 7 and 8 here, we find the great comfort and satisfaction that the Apostle Paul had from the good tidings that came from Timothy unto him concerning the welfare of that church. And Paul said there that my comfort is greater than my affliction. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. Brother Paul said, I'm going through a great flight of affliction. But when I heard that you were steadfast in the faith, he said that my comfort in hearing that was far greater than the afflictions that I carry. I want to say any man of God ought to be that way. Any man a real man of God, is blessed to hear that his church is doing well. And I guarantee you he can hold up under a great deal of pressure and a great deal of suffering and anguish to soul and life if he finds that his people is still running well in the Lord. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you steadfast as you go? Paul said that when I got that word that you were still steadfast in the faith, he said that that my suffering and my persecution and my affliction could not compare with the comfort that that brought to my heart. Boy, I'll tell you, you don't know what it does for Brother Hall. As I come here week after week and look out over this crowd and see faces that I've known now for 17 long years. 17 years ago today, God called me to Island Ford Baptist Church. And some of you that are here this morning were here 17 years ago. Now, I'm telling you, it may not do much for you, but buddy, it does for me. And I want to encourage you this morning to just remain steadfast in the Lord. If you want to be a blessing to the man of God, keep on doing right. Just do right if the stars fall from heaven. Just keep on trucking on for the glory of God. Don't become sidelined, sidetracked, or set out by the way, but just keep on keeping on this morning for God. Amen. Stand fast in the Lord is what the apostle said here. It would have been a distressing thing, don't you think, for Brother Paul to have found out that his converts were unstable like water. The Bible said about Reuben, said Reuben's unstable as water. And I'm sure if Timothy had come back and said, Paul, they're wish-washy. Paul, they're up and down. Paul, they're hot and cold. But Paul, they're in and out. Paul, they come to church when they feel like it and they lay at home when they don't feel like it. Paul, they make every excuse under the sun to miss the house of God. I can imagine that kind of a report would have done to that dear old man of God. thinking that his efforts upon those converts had virtually been in vain. But I'm going to tell you what would have been worse report. A worse report would have been that they're not just unstable, Paul, but they turned out to be reprobates. They're no longer living for God whatsoever. I've heard men say they look better going than they did a coming. Well, I used to say that too. But I believe that I've gotten just a little bit over that. I'll tell you, as I look back over some of them that have departed from the faith, it literally grieves my heart this morning. Yes. But I have to say this, some of them have that I have seen converted under my preaching has went by the wayside. But not many of them. Many of you that are here converted under my ministry are still here, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you that is a great reward to the man of God. I'd hate to face the judgment seat with your blood on my hands. And I'd hate to face the judgment seat knowing that you heard the preaching of Brother Hall and died in your sin and went to a devil's hell without God and without hope. That'd be a grievous, grievous thing to me. I won't say a steadfast spirit is a virtue of great price and is difficult really to find in many of God's people today. Brother James, it seems like people today want to make every excuse for serving God. They make every excuse why they ought not to be in the house of God rather than sacrificing to be in the house of God. I wouldn't give you a flip of a used booger church for someone's salvation if they did not sacrifice somewhat to live for the glory and honor of God. I want to say that right here. There's going to be sacrifices somewhere down the line you're going to have to pay to stay right with God and stay on the track God's called you on. That's right. I know a lot of folk don't believe that. Most folk want to know, they want what's best for them momentarily. They never look at what the long-term consequences are. Well, I mean, I've got to work, and I understand people have to work. And sometimes the job does call us to be off from church. I understand that. And I'm going to tell you what I don't understand is when folks deliberately will lay out of the house of God, under the ploy that they had to do it because of their job. Ladies and gentlemen, we may have to sacrifice just a little, and the consequences down the road will be great. Well, I'm going to tell you what people are looking at now, their pocketbooks. And I'm going to tell you where they better look at those arrows, as Brother James preached on, that are in the hands of that mighty warrior. And that quiver that is full of them. Because I'm telling you, you're going to reap in your children what you are sowing today. Amen. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but it's an absolute fact. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just unmovable. Always abounding. Steadfast in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whether it be laboring for your family, or whether it be laboring out in the vineyard, or whether it's laboring in the house of God, or whether it be laboring in prayer, or laboring in preaching, or laboring in faithfulness, that labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, we'll reap if we faint not. Amen. Come on in the house now. Somebody help me. Amen. I read about David's mighty man, Shammah. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter number 23, while others fled from the Philistines, the Bible said that he stood in the midst of a field of lentils. If you don't know what that is, that's beans. He stood in the middle of a pea patch. and defended the ground that they were grown on. And the Bible said that it wrought a great victory. I'm going to tell you, runners have never won a victory. Somebody said, I wish to God we'd get out of Iraq. Not until the job's done. I want you to hear me well. I'm about half ticked off at the news media. I might as well get this off my crawl. You mark her down, son. We've done the job in Germany and Japan, and we've not had the problem with them since. But we did not do the job in Korea, and we did not do the job in Vietnam, and we're done. We did not do the job in Iraq 1, and we're dealing with all three of them now. I'm telling you, a runner ain't never. Runners have never won the victory. And neither will a runner in spiritual matters, ladies and gentlemen, ever win the victory. Can you imagine how that man felt standing there all alone? All others had fled and forsaken him, and yet he stood there and fought alone. And the Bible said that he wrought a great victory. Somebody said it takes a whole lot to win the victory. Does it now? One man stood alone 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. When everybody forsook him and fled, Jesus stood alone. And sin wrought a great victory for you and I that are in here today. And for our children that are in here today. Christ won a great victory on the cross for sinners that they might be saved. Can you get a hold of that now? One man make a difference. One man turned the course of the world. And one daddy can turn the course of his home. And one man can turn the course of a church. I made up my mind. I didn't come to town to run. I come to stay. And buddy, I plan on standing fast in the Lord. And that would be my word for you today likewise. Stand right fast. Your child, I ain't never saw a son. I've only got one. I don't know of any children that was ever proud of a card for a father. Children are looking for men, not cards. Somebody said, oh, it don't take a man to be a Christian, Brother Hall. That's what they used to tell me. You know whose side you're on. I've heard men say, I've said the same thing. I'm not going to be a little sissy. Church is for old women and children, but not for us tough men. You don't know anything about a man. Son, it takes a man to stand while the world is going wrong. It takes a man to stand for God, ladies and gentlemen. What signal are you sending to your family? Man or boy? Soldier or wimp? Opened up over there the other day, one of those American Hunter magazine. There was a dude laying there in mud over his eyeballs with an M1A carbine advertising that rifle, and it had mud all over it. And that guy had camouflage on his face. And his face wasn't the look of some little wimpy, noodle-spined, lace-on-your-underwear wearing punk. He looked like every bit of a man. I'm telling you, men, ladies and gentlemen, men have fought wars and won battles, and men have pulled down strongholds, and men have raised families, and men have blessed the house of God, and it'll take a man to do it today. Amen. Anybody listening? I read in that same chapter. The Bible talks about a man in 2 Samuel 23. About a man by the name of Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I thought I'd get that out of the way, lest I had a slight little premonition. But while others fled, the Bible said that he fought until his hand clave to that sword. That is a... It just clung to that sword, and he wrought a great victory for Israel that day. You know what clave to it? Anybody ever worked? Some of you haven't.
Some of you don't know enough about work. Only work you ever done is push keys. But some men in here know something about hard work. You ever had a job where you had to hold on to a gooseneck hole from sun up to sun down? And you laid that hole down and you just barely could straighten your hand out because it was made in the contour of that hole. Hello? Amen. I'm going to tell you the thought there is, grab the copy of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And let that Bible shape the contour of your hand around it. And if you cleave to the Word of God, I'll guarantee you, you can have a victory. You can win the battle. You might even make the difference in the war. I read an article in the newspaper the other day where one of the boys over in Iraq, defending his wounded comrades, picked up what they thought was a disarmed 50 caliber machine gun and held off that bunch of ragheads with that 50 caliber machine gun single-handedly until they got workers there and rescued those wounded boys and got them off the battlefield. They said when that man laid down that machine gun, that article said that he had third-degree burns on his hands and his body where he clung to that machine gun in order to wage war against that crowd. I'm telling you, that boy, whoever he is, ought to have a medal of honor, buddy. He is a man in my books. I'm telling you, God's looking for men in church. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you, amen. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, come on in the house, men. If some of these women around here had a man home, they'd do all right. I'm just being honest with you. If everything done around here depended on the men, wouldn't be a great deal done. I'm glad the women know how to work. But you hear what I'm saying? I think I'm in the Bible on this. There's a whole lot of women around the Lord, Brother Billy, that just happened to show up. But those men that were around him were handpicked. You all catch that one after a while. Amen! Y'all got a hold of it now? Hallelujah. I thought about those two men. I want you to hear me well now. There's some areas. I want to mention three and we go into the back room and eat. There's some areas that we're to stand fast in. Notice what the text says in verse number 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. May I say today that we ought to stand fast in your faith. Stand, amen. Come on in the house now. Stand fast in the faith. And the faith spoken of here in verse 7 is what is believed and not the act of believing. It's not talking about a salvation experience only. It's talking about what we believe on down the road.
Amen.
I want to ask you something this morning. Do you believe more now than you did when you got in?
Amen.
Are you as steadfast in your faith now as what you were when you got in? What do you believe about this man Christ?
Amen.
What do you believe about the church?
Amen.
What do you believe about your home? What do you believe about your family? What do you believe about the judgment seat? What do you believe about the coming of the Lord? What do you believe about sin? What do you believe about heaven and hell? It's not so much the act of believing. It is what you believe today. Stand fast in the faith. Now I want to read something to you. Y'all thought that I was pulling your leg a while ago. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men.
Be strong. I wonder how many say amen to that in here today, brother. Some of you look puzzled. Am I running too many rabbit tracks or not making myself clear? I don't know about standing fast in the faith. Now, come on down the line now. Hey, and that word stand fast implies remain stationary.
Amen.
You're not moved by nothing.
Amen.
Be unmovable. Unmovable. Unmovable like a rock. Unmovable. The winds can blow and you're not moved.
Amen.
The storms can rage and you're not moved.
Amen.
The trials can come and you're not moved. Troubles can come and you're not moved. Hardships can come and you're not moved. Hey, 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 I'm talking about being unmovable for God. Some of you in here are like a reed shaking in the wind. And all the wind's got to do is, and that little light reed just blows. You know what? I read an article the other day, and it's amazing. That there is some kind of a sea plant. That on the surface, it's just soft and mushy. Like jelly. It doesn't have much of a substance to it. But it said that the waves can raise 12, 15, 20 feet high on that little seaweed. And said them waves drop back down and that little seaweed just stands there. You know why? It's not so much how strong it is on the surface, gentlemen. It's because his little root goes way down to the bottom of the ocean. I'm telling you, if you got your tap root in the right place, buddy. If your root goes back to Calvary, it all started at the cross. Hallelujah to God. And if you've got your roots down in the cross where the Son of God shed His blood for your life, I'm going to tell you, you'll stand fast in the Lord. You'll stand fast because He'll see to it that you stand fast. He'll make you stand fast. I believe that's one thing He'll do against your will. Because if I'd had my will about it a long time ago, I'd have given up. Come on in the house now. Remain stationary. That is, we're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Come on, listen to me. Paul said in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I've never seen a generation of Baptists. I sat down up at the hospital the night that Brother Steve had his surgery. Me and Hall, Miss Hall and I walked back up there and went back in. And Miss Patty and someone was out there in the room. You remember? Remember we went over and sat down? Those women got up and left and let us sit down. Those other people were sitting there behind me and Miss Hall. This one guy, they was a-talking, just a-bumping their gums and bumping their gums. And I heard it all. I couldn't tell. You know, my hearing's not very well and I couldn't hear everything they were saying. But I heard this one guy say, "Oh, yeah!" Said, "In the first one we baptized was a former Baptist." Needless to say, the hair come up. They hadn't been in the hospital. He'd have got another look at another Baptist. I'm going to tell you what they were. Water dogs. Church of Christ glutton because they had rebaptized a Baptist. I'm telling you, we live in an hour when men are carried about with the slight and cunning craftiness of the tongues of men, and they're not stable in what they believe in that Bible. Now, I'm telling you right now, one of you go out here and get baptized by Church of Christ, preacher, don't come back and gloat in my face about it. You'll find out that there's still an old sin nature working in my members. Oh, I wouldn't cuss them or fight them, Brother Draw. But I ain't going to say I wouldn't get in the flesh a little while either. I hope you know better than that. That it's not being dumped.
that get you to God. You know every tadpole by Social Security number. Amen. Still be lost. It takes an encounter with God and an experience of grace. Save sinners today, just like it always has. Doctrine. Paul said, I was comforted when I heard about your faith. How that you were not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm telling you, I've heard of people that are Baptists today. And they're, I knew a person was a Methodist, was a Baptist, was a Church of God of Prophecy, and then was a Church of God because Church of God of Prophecy preaches if you've been married twice, you're going to hell. They left there for that. And I don't know what they wound up. Nowhere, I don't think. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, something gone wrong in the field, ladies and gentlemen. No wonder when Timothy said, Paul, glad tidings! They're running well! They're hanging in there! Today is it a red-hot prayer meeting Saturday night, worshiping God Sunday morning. Yeah. The choir was a-singing, bless God, like they knew Christ. The young people was rejoicing. The old men was weeping tears. Mamas was a-shouting of victory. Daddies was a-running the aisle. Paul said, glory! Yeah. You'll get a hold of it, I hope. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ain't time to go eat yet, so I know you smell the food. Notice secondly, remaining stationary, standing fast in the faith, not being tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but not tempted above that we're able to bear. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I want to mention two words there very quickly, and we'll move on. Taken. No temptation taken you. That word means got a hold of you. Amen. Can I ask you something? If that Bible is real, and it's true, ladies and gentlemen, and can you tell me why every time the telephone rings, you draw up because you're afraid that somebody's going to tell you about another church member or another preacher that fell into sin? Well, they were overtaken. I'd agree with that. But there has no temptation gotten a hold of you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted that which you're able to bear. And that word tempted, I want you to get all this. It means enticed. I believe it's got another word to it, another definition, scrutinized. And to come on in the house now, we'll just teach a Sunday school lesson. If it's enticed and scrutinized, that covers the whole realm of temptations from without and trials by God. I'll not let a trial scrutinize you to the point that you fall. And I'll not let the devil tempt you enough from without that you fall. You imagine what it would do to this church? I've been here 17 years ago today. Still remember what I preached on Sunday night. I preached on them 10 lepers on Sunday night. 17 years ago tonight, I preached on 10 lepers. One of them's all come back. I've been here 17 years. What would it do to you if your telephone rang in the morning and somebody said, you hear about the pastor? He committed adultery. Would it bother you? If it don't, you may need. You probably need to get saved. But I'm telling you, can you imagine what the man of God would feel? Can you imagine what the man of God would feel if the telephone rang over at my house one day this week and Miss Angie Vincent said, in tears, said, Brother Hall,
Steve, just confess to me to a God.
Boy, it wouldn't bother the preacher. Oh, yeah, it would. Paul said, I was happy. I was comforted when I heard of your faith that you had not been tempted
beyond what you could bear
and had not been tossed
with every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
One more point on that and we'll move on. 2 points, all we got. Third point's real short. For your sake, you better thank God it is. Not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, not tempted that above that we're able to bear, and not terrified by Satan's roar. Can I say this honestly, and I'm no match for the devil, and God forbid that I'm gloating in no way, and I'm not. I hope the Lord never lets me feel the wrath of the devil in this life like he did Job. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, from the Bible, all he can do is growl. That is all he can do. Ain't that what the book says?
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I want to say this. He growled at some of them and enticed some of them and they fell.
Amen.
But had they resisted him steadfast in the faith, Brother Billy, they'd have still been standing today, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
A man that commits adultery, the Bible said, a wound and a dishonor will he get.
Amen.
And that's fact. All other sins are committed outside the body, but whosoever committeth adultery sinneth against his own body.
God help us. How steadfast are you?
Oh, somebody said, I'll make it all right. Take heed, ladies and gentlemen. Because when we say we got her made and we'll stand, you're on the threshold of falling.
Better be careful where you go, who you visit, where you come in contact with. Men and women both. That's why I don't like women working out on jobs. A whole lot of little girls lost their virginity on their first job. Little boys too, by the way. And a whole lot of adultery because mama had to help pay the bills. Having fun today, aren't we? We would have. Some of y'all would have smiled when we first come in. It's your fault. Don't blame me. I was ready to go to eat before I ever opened the Bible. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why? Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Amen.
Somebody said, poor me. Ain't nobody got it like I have. Fool it. Knowing this, the same afflictions, the very same thing.
Not any of us exempt from it. Your brethren in the world. I won't say secondly. Not only stand fast in the faith, but we need to stand fast in our freedom. Now, I doubt that you'll get a hold of this. But Paul said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I won't say right now freedom is not free. It's not. The freedom those folks in Iraq will enjoy has cost at least 1,300 of our boys' lives. And the freedom that these people believed in, the freedom that you believe and I believe, enjoy today, it didn't cost us anything. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free.
It's all because of Him!
Now listen carefully. Those believers there, you know what their problem was? They wanted to be circumcised.
Paul said, I tell you, if you go back under that law, you are debtor to do the whole law.
Amen.
Now, what man in his right mind would want to go back under the law when Christ, by grace, hath made us free from the law of sin and death?
Amen.
Now, I'm not, hey, and standing fast in the liberty there, ladies and gentlemen, is not liberty to sin. It's liberty not to sin.
Amen.
We don't have to wallow in sin. I don't have to steal. I don't have to cuss. Ain't nobody made me drink liquor and smoke a cigarette. Ain't nobody made me or tried to make me commit adultery. I'm going to tell you, it's a two-way street. Come on in the house. Christ has made us free.
Amen.
I want to show you something this morning. Just hang right in there now. What are you free from this morning? Some of you may learn one of these days that you're free from the guilt of the past.
Amen.
I was guilty! Guilty of sin! Transgressed the law of God. I was guilty. But ladies and gentlemen, the day that I met Jesus, I was free from the guilt of my past. He's never dragged one skeleton out of the closet on me. Woo! Get a hold of it. Somebody in here cannot get beyond what you were. Why don't you dwell on what you is? Because it ain't what you was, it's what you is. And I is forgiven. I think you got a verse on this. Remember the scripture in John chapter number 8? When they brought that woman, them men said, Master, here's a woman taken in adultery in the very act. Now get this. Here's what these people wanted to go back under. The law said, stone her. What do you say? Jesus just wrote down, stooped down, began to write on the ground in the dust. Bible said when he stood up, he looked around on that bunch of men that had probably been with her all night long and said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And he stooped back down and began writing again on the ground. When he rose up, while he was writing from the oldest until the youngest, that tells me you young bucks dumber than a box of rocks. At least the old men had enough sense to flee.
Amen.
When he got up, they were gone.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read this. I don't want to misquote one word of it. Jesus said, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? They had the power to accuse, ladies and gentlemen, but not to condemn.
Amen.
Condemnation can only come from God.
Amen.
And the guilt and condemnation is gone from me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Get hold of this now. No man condemned thee. And she said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go. Him no more.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what. The guilt of one night before is past. The Lord, last night she was a harlot, but today she's a saved harlot.
Amen.
That's gone to sin no more.
Amen.
Oh, last night she sold herself to buy food, but today she's a saint of God, faith in the blood of the Lamb, ladies and gentlemen. Free. The guilt. Now get a hold of this. Somebody said, well, we ain't going to know where we go until we die. Shame on your little weak religion. I never have to fear standing in front of God and hearing what these people heard last night that played the parts of sinners in the play. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. But thank God, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, by grace, that's made me free from the law of sin and death. I shall hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And I thought about the three, four boys, whoever there was. Three of them played the parts of the rebellious boys that went on to the party. An old rag man's the only one that got saved out of the bunch. They went on to their party. In that accident and died. The young lady, played by Jennifer, went on to her adulterous affair. And in the place she died and went to hell. And I'm here to tell you what a blessing it would be for sinners to be able to get up in the next morning, boys, you boys that played that part. Wouldn't it have been a real blessing to be able to get up this morning for real? For real and say, my guilt is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm free from sin. Sin hath no more dominion over me. Free from its penalty, I'm not going to hell. Free from its power, I don't have to obey it. Someday I shall be free from its presence. Hallelujah to God. Even right now, I'm being free from its, woo, its pleasures. I don't find pleasure in sin no more. I've had more fun here this morning. Would have been wonderful for Jennifer in that part to be able to went home and in reality, I'm talking about in the plane, gotten saved, and got up the next morning and said, the guilt of just last night. What if she would have met her man before she met the preacher on the street? Let's just reverse that a little bit. And here she comes and she meets the preacher on the street, and old Benny's up there shelling the corn. I thought I taught him better than he's doing last night. And she's just come from that affair, that fornication. Benny begins to preach to her, and she falls down on her knees like Brother Smith did and got saved. And the school teacher, we could even throw her in there. Say, she'd have been that religious school teacher just before she... Hey... Before she really got, I mean, when she got saved, Jennifer had gotten saved, wouldn't it have been a miracle if they'd have gotten saved, both of them right here. Then they could have went home, said, get up from last night. I'll guarantee you what Mrs. Smith would have done. She would have said, that money I stole last night, I'm going to try to find out who owns that. Yeah. I guarantee you, when Jennifer got up the next morning, she wouldn't have painted up her lips and rolled and curled her tinted hair. Amen! Guilt can be gone, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring it on down. The second old Brother Smith said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God said, it's done. Guilt is gone, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God, a guilty sinner pardoned by the grace of God. No wonder Paul could say, glory, I'll suffer affliction and persecution to hear those kind of good times.
of great joy. Stay with me, not only free from the guilt of the past, but I'm free. My past, I want to say this, is forgiven. My present is favored. You're looking at a man that's living under the favor of God. Now somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, you'll never find in the Bible anywhere in the ministry of Christ, in His earthly ministry, that His disciples ever went or ever had any need that was not met.
Amen.
I want to ask you, I want the real fool to stand up this morning and tell me what need you have in your life that's never been met. Favored! Blessed! Blessed 7.5.
Amen.
Blessed 2. Blessed 1.75. Blessed 7. Blessed 4. Blessed 3. Blessed 1. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Favor. Daily. Oh. Hallelujah! Psalmist said in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation," he said, "Selah, think about it." Again, hey, I wrote this down. The word "loadeth," it means to impose a burden. Somebody said, "I don't want any burden." This kind of a burden you do is take the idea of a pack animal carrying the provisions for his master. God, hey, and I get this now. I said impose. You know, folks want to be real spiritual. Now, I don't mean to impose any unnecessary burden upon you. Well, the Lord does impose burdens upon us. He will load you with benefits whether you want them or not. That's exactly what that means. Whether you want them or not. Oh, I don't want that load. It's good for you. I wonder what on earth could be the benefit of this mess, whatever it is God's given me. It seems like every Sunday morning I lose my voice. It comes back Sunday night, but I won't thank Him for it.
Yeah.
I don't want it, but it's good. How's it good? Because He that is good said it is good.
Amen.
And He knows what's best for you and I, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
So some things that are benefits of life He imposes upon us that if we had it to do ourselves, we'd shrug them off and go on. We wouldn't want them. You'll find out how beneficial they are down the road. I've heard preachers say this. So many troubles in our church and problems, bless God. That's why I left that outfit up there. You know what they done? They left shy of the blessing. They didn't have enough sense to know that was a benefit God was putting on them. Come on now. What a blessing it is to work with trouble. In the church. Somebody said, "Where's the blessing?" When you see them get living for God because of the very trouble they was to you. Make you appreciate it. God may want you around the house with your wife a little bit. Maybe you didn't get that year, brother. Don Anderson preached about here in our Jubilee. I don't know. Maybe God wanted to prove whether people in here really love you or not. Woo! My past is forgiven, my present is favored, and my purpose is fruitful. Somebody said, "Preacher, you've gone crazy." No, I don't think so. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to my purpose. No. His purpose. Now, may I say to you, and I don't have time to preach all these. We'd be here longer. Some of you are ready to go now, and I am about myself. I'm hungry. According to God's purpose. And in that purpose is found our calling, our predestination to be conformed to the image of Christ, our justification, our glorification. They're all found in that purpose. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if they're found in a purpose, when God saved you, He had a purpose in mind of what He wanted to do with you. He wants to make the vessel out of you that pleases and glorifies Him. And so my purpose is fruitful. No matter what happens in my life, if I stay right with God and sin not willfully, then I know that it's for my good. And God is fulfilling His purpose in my own life. What a, have mercy. Have mercy. And I want to close on this. Stand fast in our faith and our freedom, but we ought to stand fast in our fellowship. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, for us to be in unity here, in one spirit and one mind, depends on one thing, our behavior being right. If everybody does right, we'll have to stay in one spirit, won't we? Paul talked in the Corinthians about being no schisms in the body. May I say, you can't have fellowship with the body if you're not here. And I want to say this to you. Brother Hall has got more lives, more families to consider in making decisions in what this church does than one. I can't just consider me and Sister Hall. I've got to consider this church. Or I can't just consider one family in this church. I've got to consider this church. If it's beneficial for the church or for a family. Right. It's got to be that way. And God forbid that anybody would ever get bent out of joint and break that bond of unity because they didn't get their way about that. I'm learning. I'm going to put it like this. I'm learning. I've not always known this. That even as a pastor, I'm going to have to give a little and take a little along the line somewhere. Not compromise what I believe. No. But things that really don't have a flip-flicking thing to do with faith, or the gospel, or holiness, or righteousness, then why be contentious about it? I wish everybody in here today could have heard Brother Crawford's Sunday school lesson on them arrows. It did say arrows in the hands of a mighty woman, didn't it, Brother James? Oh, a mighty man. Oh, yeah. Well, sure, the woman was supposed to be taking care of that end of the situation. Daddies have got to take care of it, though. Daddies that are home take care of it. Our families will stand together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the morning time that you've given us, Sunday school and the worship hour. Pray your blessings upon this church, upon the ministry, as we look, Lord, to those days and years that may lie ahead. Help us to do our best for thee. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves fully to thee, wholly to thee, and to the cause of Christ. I pray you'll save these young people in here today that are lost. Some of them, Lord, have raised their hands in recent services that they're not saved. I pray, oh God, that you speak to them, convict them, love them, draw them. And others, Lord, that are just hearing they're lost, I pray you'd show mercy and grace and deliver for thy glory. Bless our meal that's to follow in our fellowship time. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
282, is that right? 304, sign over.
And I get them too confused all night.
304. Have thine own way. 304. Same right there. Has God dealt with your heart today? Your guilt? Is it in the past? Or are you still carrying that load? Are you still under the burden? Second verse. Miss Hall plays through that just a moment. We'll go eat. We'll pray out there. We're going to take up our offering for Brother Steve. Praying about that. If you didn't put something in your check, in your tithe, designate it. That way you can put something in now. And you may have put something in on Tuesday night, cash or something. You may want to put cash in today. And we're going to take up that offering in just a few minutes. I appreciate you doing that. Food. Looking forward to the good food we're going to dine on here in just a little bit. Fellowship Hall. And let's be seated. Ushers come this morning. Steve went back to get those offering pans. I'll give you a moment to pray if you need time. If you didn't get a chance to opportunity to put something, come on, you fellas. Brother Steve, come on. Give you a few minutes here. Pray about that. It is Christmas, you know. Difficult to get our minds where it ought to be in Christmas. Brother Matthias told me 10 years ago, said we ought to just shut the doors of the church for the month of October, month of December. But I don't know. I believe I broke through there a little bit this morning.
I believe I'll go in and preach. Preaching will work in season and out of season. I love Brother Steve and I love Miss Patty. And I look back, I said this three or four times recently, but I want to say it again. She got saved when, against all odds, I'm telling you. I don't see how anybody could have gotten saved in that service, but I believe she did. Didn't shake her. Maybe them just being greenhorns at the time didn't know what all was going on. I was pretty green myself, and I'm not so sure I know what was going on. It all come out all right. All things do work together for good. I'm glad of that. All right, let's pray. You put in the offering. Brother Billy, you pray for the offering, will you please? Amen. Going to go ahead and be dismissed, and we'll eat out there, pray out. I mean, we'll pray out there rather before we eat. And so, let's.